to you. The Father sends His Spirit of truth and love into the world, and the Spirit guides us in the ways of peace. Therefore, do not let your hearts be troubled or afraid. Dear brothers and sisters, the Holy Spirit is with you.
Welcome to The Holy Spirit Is With You, hosted by Kathleen McCarthy of In His Sign Catholic Radio. Empowered by the Holy Spirit, bringing the fire of God's love to the world.
Well, praise the Lord. It's good to be with each and every one of you. I told you today I was going to have a guest in, and she'll be calling in any moment, and that is Maureen Flynn. And her husband Ted Flynn been involved for years in ministry, and they have a magazine, Signs of the Times, and it speaks on, gives all kinds of pro-life updates, information, stories about the pro-life and miracles that happen. Do many, many interviews on Murray people, people involved in ministry in the church. It's just a ministry that's been around for years now. And, I mean, I remember, I think Dominic knew them as well. So, long story short, they're based down in Virginia, and I was asked to do an article for the magazines. I was called and asked. They want to do a little write-up, a little article. And so I said, okay. And as it went on, it was a lengthy article, and there was a pagination involved in my part of the magazine. And what they did to rectify it, because let's say you were reading maybe page 10, and it should have went to 11 next, and let's say it went to 14 or 13. So it's called a pagination. And so what they did, they took the whole article, corrected it, and put it in perfect order with each other, and left it in the magazine as is when it went out, but also did a little sort of almost like a little pamphlet itself of the interview. And they did a really beautiful job with it. Bottom line is, the reason I did that, I was supposed to speak at a conference, and that was coming up. And because of a lot of different situations and circumstances, that didn't come off. They were doing a... hold on. They were doing a another venue. They were going to move the conference to a different time and a different place. And some of the speakers could do that, but I couldn't. It was my Lumina Christi retreat the day before that, so I could not not get involved, not be a speaker. So they asked me if I would do a virtual, and would I do a virtual talk, which I did. They taped it, and it should run at some point. I think it's one of the opening talks, actually. So anyway, I invited them on today, Maureen, to do an interview. And anyway, I see here they're just sending me a text. Maureen, Vinnie Hey, Kathleen, it's Maureen. I'm not sure if I'm supposed to call you or you're supposed to call me. I gave them the office number. They're calling my mobile phone, my text. I mean, my cell phone. So anyway, Maureen, Maureen in the office, if you're listening, please get a hold of them and tell them, give them the phone number for the office again. It must not have been passed to them. Thanks. Well, in the meantime, my brothers and sisters, I just want to say welcome. It's always a great gift and a great blessing to be with you. I praise and I thank God for all the different ways that you have just been such a beautiful, awesome, loyal, faithful listener for, you know, all these years. Radio and then also watching it all the time on my live stream. So it's quite a blessing. And again, I just want to praise and thank God for each and one of you. Did they give it to her? Sorry about that. I was trying to talk out into the office. They said she don't have the number. I said, well, did they give it to her? So anyway, she'll be calling in momentarily. And I just want to praise and thank God for each of you, reminding everybody, pray always for our veterans. Pray, you know, this month, the entire month, for our holy souls, all those faithful departed that have gone before us, that their souls might rest in peace. And remember how important it is to pray for the souls in purgatory, because many times they don't have anybody to pray for them. And that's where we come in. That's where you and I come in, that not only we pray for our own loved ones and family members and friends and associates, but we pray especially, too, for all those who don't have anyone to pray for them. We know the souls in purgatory can pray for us. And many times, even being unaware of it, we have been the recipient of the grace of those prayers. However, they cannot, you know, pray for themselves. I can just tell you this, and this is it's an absolute truth. I don't even have to enhance any of my stories, what God has done in my life and the stories he's written in my ministry and life. But I was sitting one day, one night, it was early in the evening, I was waiting for one of the kids to come home. I was sitting down reading a book, and I was going to go put the TV on, shut or close the book. And I was on a sofa, and you know you can sense when someone's in a room or you can feel them next to you. I actually felt my sofa sort of feel funny, like it almost went down, like somebody was sitting in it. And by the time I turn around, this man who I never, ever saw in my entire life before, and I probably wouldn't know him again, I don't think, if I tripped over him. But as I was in just taken back in amazement, this man says to me, thank you, Kathleen. Thank you for praying for me. I am entering glory. And that quick he was gone. I don't think I ever doubted it, but if I ever did doubt that there were souls in purgatory, depending on the prayers of the faithful, the church militant, then all that was gone if I ever had any, because I know unequivocally without any doubt that I actually saw that soul with my own eyes. And so I just want to encourage all of you to please let me take this call. I just want to encourage you, don't forget them. There's a great book, it's called Get Me Out of Here, and many of you have heard of it. It's written many years ago now, but it's all about the holy souls and how they're telling you how important your prayers are. So let me take this. Maureen's just calling in. Maureen.
Kathleen, it's Maureen. How are you?
I'm good. I was just explaining what happened. You were calling my cell phone, and I was explaining to the people going to have to get a hold of in the office to tell them to call you and give you this
number.
Right.
It was confusion because for some reason in my head, I thought you were going to call me, because when we do Drew's show, they always call us. But
right.
I never had your studio number, but then Beth, I just texted her. She goes, I sent it to you last week. Well,
yeah.
This week's been a while, so that's
okay.
Probably why.
That's no problem. We're bingo, we did it. We're together.
Thank God.
God. And I don't know if you have your radio on or what, but I'm getting an echo here.
You're having an echo?
Yeah.
I have this as a, let me take it off, hold on. How is that better?
Yes. Yeah.
Yes, that was a speakerphone, so I will just speak directly into the phone.
Okay.
Does that work better?
Yeah, I can hear you perfectly fine now.
Great.
First off, I just want to thank you for getting in and thank you for calling. I was telling the people before you called in, just refreshing them of everything that took place with our coming together. And,
good.
That you and Vinny been in ministry for all these years, and I was talking about your magazine, and you have the, powerful.
Yeah, Ted. You're thinking of Vinny
Flynn,
but Ted.
Oh, yeah, I didn't mean Ted. Yes, Ted and Signs and Wonder Times. What's your magazine actually called? Signs and Wonders.
For Our Times, yes. Signs and Wonders
for
Our Times.
For Our Times, okay. And so I'm glad you were able to call in get the right number. So I want to talk a little bit today to Maureen Flynn in regards to the week of prayer and fasting. And I did share with them beforehand, while I was waiting for you to call in, that, I talked about the article that we had, article you did and interviewed me, and then when going to be a speaker, and then with the plan changing to a different venue, I couldn't make it, but I did do a virtual for you.
Thank you.
Yes. You're very welcome. And so because I can't be there in person, I also wanted to offer you the opportunity to come on and to speak a little bit about your own, personal ministry, you and Ted, and also talk about this week that's coming up of a week of prayer and fasting, and maybe you'd like to share also some of the other ways that God moved in your heart. And I know this has been going on for a long time. It's an international week of prayer and fasting. So I'm going to ask you to share with the people why God laid that on your heart. Why did you feel moved in the spirit to begin it? And then eventually getting into
sure.
Who will be your guest this, in November.
Great. And we're live, right?
We are.
Okay. This is wonderful. I will say hi to everyone.
There you go.
Thank you for those who are listening. And we love Kathleen. She's a dynamo. And we did a beautiful article on her. I should say Beth Racine, who does a lot of work with us, she interviewed Kathleen, And it's a fantastic article that came out in our spring issue. And I've always heard about Kathleen and her name and her ministry within the Sign Network, but I didn't know her unbelievable story. So I was extremely touched by her story. And truly the fact that she can now just talk and the Holy Spirit guides her, she doesn't have to prepare talks, which that is amazing. Not many people can do that. So I just want to thank her for, you know, asking us to come on, me to come on. And I'm glad that I finally got to, you know, talk with her. And I wish I'd been able to talk to her years ago, now that I know how awesome she is. So, yes, thank you so much. And by the way, she will be one of our virtual speakers. I'll talk a little bit about the week of prayer and fasting and how Kathleen will be one of our virtual speakers. So this is our 33rd year International Week of Prayer and Fasting. This year it's from November 15th, opening day at the Basilica, the National Shrine of the Immaculate Conception in Washington, D.C. It'll be from 8:30 to 5. It's a free day, so anyone can come down and, you know, visit and listen to the speakers, pray the rosary with us, go to adoration. And also, if they can't come down, they can watch it live streamed on our website, IWOP for prayer, F for fasting.org. So it'll be live streamed that day for free. So if you're somewhere out in the Philadelphia area or somewhere, wherever you are, you can watch it for free live streamed. And then the speakers that day, we have Father Dan Rehill. He'll be the main celebrant, and he will speak, and the homilist. And we were going to have Cardinal Ernest Simone, who is an amazing priest who, up until 2014, was Father Ernest Simone, and he was in an Albanian prison for 28 years. He was tortured. He has charisms like Padre Pio, and so he was going to come. And then we found out only a few days ago that he is, due to unavoidable circumstances, he cannot travel to the United States. So, of course, we were a little bummed out. So we prayed, said, okay, Lord, you must have a plan. And lo and behold, we found out that Father John Zeta, who's from Harrisburg, Pennsylvania, and he too is an exorcist since 2011, and he's got an amazing background, he will take his place, and he will speak on, the title of his talk will be The Interconnection Between Spiritual and Psychological Healing. So he, you know, sounds, his background sounds quite fascinating. Kathleen, I don't know if you know him. Do you know Father Zeta?
I do not know him, no.
Yeah. He was appointed as the official exorcist for the Diocese of Harrisburg.
Yeah.
And he's emphasized the importance of ruling out mental illness before considering cases of possession.
Right.
And apparently he's active in, you know, spiritual formation, pastoral care. And he recently spoke at the 15th International Gathering of the International Association of Exorcists in Rome that was held September 15th. And apparently Pope Leo the 14th addressed a message to the approximately 300 exorcist priests who were there. But he's just wonderful to talk to. He's busy as all get up, and he is coming to speak. So I just thank God, and, you know, that everything has worked out.
Yes.
And he will be taking his spot, which will be from 3:30 to 4:45 on the 15th of that Saturday.
Awesome.
Then we have Patricia Sandoval, who is an international pro-life speaker, co-host on EWTN's Pro-Life Report, and she has quite a fascinating testimony. I don't want to say too much and ruin it, but Father Don Calloway thinks she's one of the best young, you know, women speakers around, and I did hear her speak several times, and I would have to agree with him. She's amazing. And truly, her conversion story, which is marked with great signs and wonders, is shows God's love and mercy. So she's the co-author of a book called Transfigured, Her Escape from Drugs, Homelessness, and the Back Doors of Planned Parenthood. So we're excited that she's coming. And then Andrew Niewald is the president of the Adoratio Foundation, and it's a Catholic nonprofit group, and they are fostering Eucharistic adoration everywhere. And there's a whole team of them. They go to parishes, and they work with the parishes. If they don't have an adoration going on, they work with them how they can set it up. And if they do have adoration going on, but they don't have a lot of adorers, they work with them. They have, like, these workshops, how they can get more people to become adorers.
Wow.
And he's a wonderful man. I think he has 8 children. So he's coming to speak, and he's bringing 2 of his daughters with him. So we're looking forward to hearing him. And then, of course, Father Daniel Rehill, we just went on a trip with him in April. We thought we were going for the canonization of Carlo Acutis. And when we got there, the next day, which was Easter Monday, Pope Francis, died,
yes,
passed
yeah.
away. So they had to suspend the canonization. But thank God we had a whole planned trip to all the Eucharistic miracle sites in Italy. So, we still, thank God, had a wonderful time visiting all these places. And Father Dan Rehill was our spiritual advisor. And he gave excellent talks every day. So he will be speaking and sharing his testimony of how what happened to him going from a banker person, into the American Express Citicorp sales director of corporate communications, and how he went to Medjugorje and his whole life was turned around.
Yeah, he's got a phenomenal. Matter of fact, I just saw him in Medjugorje, and we did a conference out in Boston, right outside of Boston. I guess about three years ago. Was the first time it was moved from Chicago, Marian Conference up there, and he was there. He's one of the speakers, and actually we sort of teamed up when we did they also had me down for a healing service, and we sort of shared that time then and came together
great.
Into it. So it was I agree with you. He has an absolutely beautiful and phenomenal story, and I'm sure each one of the speakers do as well. But I was just getting in. I think the day after he wound up going back to home. But the beauty of this is it has been going on for so many years, and the Lord, tells us we'll know him by the fruits. And so you have certainly had a lot of fruit of the Spirit manifested throughout all these years, over 3 decades. So I assume
there's some funny stories too. Do you want me to share some?
Sure.
Well,
I was just going to
say. Some of them are funny, but some of them are
I was going to say, what kind of things really in all those years, maybe you could sort of share a story or two.
Sure.
Go ahead.
Well, I think one of the interesting stories was from the very beginning, and it happened in 1989. The first National Week of Prayer and Fasting was October 1990, but before that, in November of 1989, I was washing dishes. My kids were very young, and I saw a Washington Post article. Of course, back in that day, you didn't have cell phones,
right.
And you got the Washington Post. So there was this big article of these grandmothers that were pro, they were for abortion. And I remember thinking, I was horrified. I thought, oh my gosh, there's grandmothers. What's wrong with them? They're for abortion? I mean, they should know better. That's what I was
right.
thinking. Now that I'm a grandmother, I'm like, dear Lord. So I called a good friend of ours, John Downs, who was a suffering soul. He was a quadriplegic, a beautiful man of God. And he used to put on Marian symposiums back in the day, and I had met him at one of the conferences, and I said, who's putting this on? And they said, see that quadriplegic man over there? Him. I was like, what? So we became good friends, and he taught us a lot about, at the time, Blessed Faustina.
Yep.
So it was way before she became a saint. And then so we used to get together at different gatherings, and I called him up and I said, John, we should do a day of prayer. And he goes, Maureen, that's not enough. a day of prayer and fasting, I was suggesting. He said it needs to be 7 days and nights of prayer and fasting. I said, oh, okay. and then he goes, okay, when you go to bed tonight, ask the Blessed Mother when she wants this. And because at the time I looked up to him as a mentor, I thought, okay, he just told me to say a prayer before I went to bed, so I did. Well, that night, I woke up with dates in my head that had never happened before or since. And the dates were October 7th through October 13th. So that morning, the next morning, I called him and I said, well, I did what you said. And I came up with these two dates, October 7th through October 13th. Now, at the time, one of them, I can't remember which one, I knew what it was, and it was probably October 7th. Anyways, he goes, oh, yeah, that's the Blessed Mother. It was October 7th, the Feast of the Rosary, and October 13th, the Feast, the great Feast at Fatima, when the sun,
that's right,
you know, twirled in the sky, and 70,000 people saw it. And so he said, okay, so next year that's what we'll do. And I went, okay. So that's how it started.
Wow.
He ended up getting the permits. We got this huge platform in front of the U.S. Capitol, and we had the first national week of prayer and fasting. The day was October 7th that we kicked it off. And on that day, it's still in my brain what happened because it was beautiful. It was a gorgeous day, not a cloud in the sky. Seven congressmen came down this hill onto the stage. They knelt down, and they prayed the rosary with us.
Beautiful.
And one of them was Henry Hyde.
Oh, yeah.
Many considered to be the grandfather of the pro-life movement.
Yep.
He's now deceased. And the other one was Congressman Chris Smith.
Still active.
Been very, oh, yeah. He's alive and kicking.
Yep.
He's great. And he is just a real warrior for the Blessed Mother up there on the hill. And the other ones I don't remember exactly, but those two are the ones that stick out in my mind. And there was a priest from Medjugorje with us, and I really can't remember his name.
Right.
But he had joined us to pray, and other people. So as we were praying the rosary, and there were some talks in the Divine Mercy chaplet, several people looked up in the sky and saw this huge oval rainbow. And I was running around just making sure that, I guess, the speakers were working, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
And people said, look up at the sky, and I didn't because I was busy. And so one guy grabbed my head, pushed it back, and said, look. And, of course, I looked up. And sure enough, this big oval rainbow to the right of the U.S. Capitol, I went, that's weird. But I thought, what a beautiful sign. So we took it as a sign from heaven that this was good.
Exactly.
We do this. So that was the first year. And it happened a couple more times. And then several people said, I think you should move it to the Basilica of the National Shrine of the Immaculate Conception, because Our Lady wants her son to be adored. So we're like, okay. So we contacted the Basilica back then. I don't really remember exactly who we spoke to, but we explained what we wanted to do, and they said, okay. So the first international week of prayer and fasting started October 5th, 1997. And the reason why I remember it was Mother Teresa had accepted to be our keynote speaker.
Mm.
And so I was all excited.
Sure.
Maybe three or four times. And so we were looking forward to that. And then 1 month before, September 5th, which is now her feast day, my mom walked into the office. My parents helped out with, they volunteered and, you know, helped with phones and files and all that. She said that she just passed away.
Oh, sorry.
So I was so upset. I was like, oh. And I remember my mom said, you know what? She can do more good up there. You've got a saint up there.
There you go.
To ask her for help. So, yeah, lots of times between her and Mother Angelica, they get a lot of little, we need help down here.
I'm going to have to hold you there because we're going to have to take our break now. Hold your, that thought, and we'll come right back. Don't go away. We'll be right back.
Okay.
You're listening to In His Sign Catholic Radio, empowered by the Holy Spirit. bringing the fire of God's love to the world. We are blessed to have had this Catholic radio apostolate for almost 40 years now. Thanks be to God for your partnership. Without you, this radio voice would be silenced. We have a monthly Mass offered for you, our loyal family of listeners. It's our way of saying thank you for underpinning our apostolate with your many prayers and financial support. This is your radio ministry, to be a voice for those who have no voice, to evangelize and to catechize for a time such as this. We know the Lord will bless you abundantly. He can never be outdone in generosity. If this ministry has touched your heart, help us to touch other hearts by supporting us with your prayers and financial support. Call us at 610-527-2906 or visit our website at inhissign.com.
Well, we're back again. I just want to remind everybody, Maureen Flynn is our guest today, and as I told you earlier, she's the president of Signs of the Times Ministry, Apostolate, and her and her husband, Ted. And they also have this really wonderful magazine, I guess, for 35 years. And it speaks, as I said earlier, all about the Marian apparitions, all kinds of pro-life testimonies, stories of conversions and faith, etc. And talks on the saints and sacraments, spiritual power of the Mass and the Rosary. So she was telling us a story after she shared about this upcoming weekend. I guess it's a Saturday, is that correct?
Yes, it starts November 15th, which is a Saturday. That's the opening day of prayer and, you know, fasting. And also we have different groups that come in and pray the Holy Rosary. Mm-hmm. So we have the African communities, the Spanish communities. We have the all these different groups that come in and wear their beautiful dresses. So the Vietnamese have their gorgeous, you know, blue
in
silk
costume,
dresses.
Yeah.
The Indian women come in with their beautiful saris. So us Irish women, we look sort of boring. compared to some of these women, the Korean women wear these gorgeous gowns. So it's a really beautiful way to see all these nationalities come together.
Mm-hmm.
And we pray. They pray the rosary, half in their language and then half in English. So some years we were able to do three mysteries throughout the day. This year we are able to get two mysteries in, and then we open up with adoration in the morning, so our Lord is adored all day while these, you know, rosaries are being recited, and even the talks, our Lord is up there at the main altar. And then there's a big Mass at noon, which is very beautiful, and it's I guess people would call it a high Mass. And then our Lord again is brought back on the main altar for the afternoon, and we have confessions all morning. And confessions are always huge. There's a great grace, I think, because our Lord is up on the altar.
Absolutely.
Of people being drawn to go to confession. Because every year the priests say, oh, my gosh, we've got someone who hasn't been at confession in 40 years. 2 years ago, there was someone who hadn't been in 50 years. And so people are drawn. There's beautiful graces. And then some talks in the afternoon. So that's the opening day. And only since 2021 we started the virtual when COVID hit.
Right.
And that became very popular, so we kept it up with the virtual, meaning this Monday, the 17th, we have four speakers that day, so people go to our website and they can watch it for free all day. And Kathleen, you come on first on this virtual day.
Okay.
And I saw your talk, by the way. It was excellent.
Thank you.
And so she's on first, and then I think they have these little trailers in between. It looks like a little premiere, like a sort of a movie. And then we have Dr. Segi Acosta, who helps every year with the Legion of Mary. And she has a practice. She does a lot with psychological or diabolical? She has a book on that. She deals with a lot of how to help people with stress. So she has a counseling practice.
Mm-hmm.
And she heads up, I think she's now in the Sanatus for the Legion of Mary. She's very, very busy, but she's a great woman of God, like you, Kathleen. You probably, the two of you are like the busiest women I know.
Thank you.
And then we have Father Lawrence Carney speaking on the Holy Face devotion.
Beautiful.
And we're pushing that devotion in a big way this year because it's right. Our Lord said it's the most powerful devotion against the revolutionary men, against Freemasonry.
Yeah.
And we know that that's a huge, it's part of Satan's army on earth, is Freemasonry. And then we have another woman, the last speaker, Kendra Von Esch, that we just found out about maybe a year ago. And she was in the business world and, you know, had one of these big careers. And then she had this huge conversion experience. And now she's helping a lot of people. And so she's got a great testimony. So that's
awesome.
The first day. And then if they go on the website, you'll see IWOPF.org. You'll see the second day, which is November 18th, another four speakers. I'll just mention their names.
Yeah.
Father Tom Celso does a lot of talks on the divine will.
Yeah.
He's a great speaker. Dr. Elizabeth Rex, she apparently teaches at Holy Apostles College and Seminary.
Just did a retreat up there.
Do you know her?
No, but I did a retreat up there for all the seminarians and the priests that were there.
Oh, great. So I'm learning a lot about her and Catholic bioethics. She's talking a lot about what's happening about with orphaned frozen embryos. She said people forget that when they have these IV that, you know, the church is against the IVF. We're not supposed to do that. But some still do that. And she explained how they throw some of the frozen embryos away, which is killing.
Yep.
Some are just given to science. So that's another way of disposing of human beings. And the third is about 1 million frozen embryos, and they just freeze them, and that's it.
Yeah.
And I didn't realize there were several people who had been former, this is new for me, understanding, frozen embryos who are now, like, one girl is 27 years old, Hannah.
Oh, yeah.
And she's very pro-life.
Yeah.
So she's going to talk about some of that and the ethics going on today with people violating, you know, life.
Yeah.
Dr. Andrew Kubik, he's done a lot about Catholic bioethics, and also he's going to talk about what's happening with active euthanasia in many of the hospitals, and also what's happening with certain, not all, but certain hospice groups.
Yes.
He's very interesting to listen to. And then Missy Smith, she's the founder and president of Wake Up. I've known her for years, and she has a great testimony. She really was touched by Medjugorje, totally changed her life. And she had a Down syndrome son, John, who just changed her life. And Missy is a real activist for life. And now she's speaking everywhere on chastity because she said we wouldn't have to worry about abortion if we talked more about chastity. So she's coming.
Okay.
She's on our program.
Yeah.
And then the last day, I'll mention this quick, is, of course, my husband. He gives great talks on the Blessed Mother, the priesthood. He's going to talk about what's happening in the world today and the importance of the rosary, fasting, and, you know, there are times we have to all speak up.
That's right.
And the second one is Father Robert Altier. I think most people know him. He's also an exorcist. He has a program on EWTN called Beauty, Truth, and Goodness, and he's done a recent book 2 years ago called God's Plan for Your Marriage, which is great. It's a book you can give to any married couple, and, you know, they'll learn a lot. Susan Tassone, she's pretty well known. She's, they call her the Purgatory Lady.
Yep, I know her from many, many years ago.
She's funny. She's great. She's got a great sense of humor, and she's very... Oh, her books on purgatory are fantastic. I mean, I've learned a lot from her on purgatory. So
right.
We're excited that she's coming, or she's speaking for the virtual. And then Father Chris Aylar.
Yep.
Excuse me. And I think everyone knows who he is now.
Yep.
And he is talking about a lot of different things. The importance of the sacraments. He just wrote a new book on understanding the sacraments, God's grace. And when he first came to speak at the Basilica in 2015, we had heard about him. And someone, it was before he was well known, and someone said, well, why did you get him? I said, what do you mean, why did we get him? He's awesome. Well, now everybody's like, oh my gosh, he's so well known now.
Yes, he is.
Because he's done so many podcasts, and he's a very good speaker.
And he's a director up there of Divine Mercy Priest, you know. So.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
He's terrific. So these talks are there for free every day. And for those people who cannot get there, you know, for whatever reason, we have what we call an all-access pass. It's all on the website. And so we kept it really inexpensive. So you can get about, let me see, how many, 16 speakers. The all-access pass would be a special for $29.99. So that way they have up to a year where they can go in and listen to these talks anytime they want. We would love to do them for free, but the reason why we do that is when we're at the Basilica, we're not allowed to charge for tickets or anything.
Right.
So it's a way of also... being able to, you know...
Yeah, help your ministry, be able to do what it does.
Yeah, and people love it because we have a bunch of people that call in from their prayer groups, order the all-access pass, and then when they get together with their prayer groups, periodically they'll say, okay, tonight we're going to watch Kathleen McCarthy, or tonight we're going to watch Father Robert Altier. So they, you know, they bought it for their prayer group.
Right.
And they all can partake of it. So it's actually been so popular, that's why we've kept it up.
That's wonderful. Well, I'm glad your day of prayer and fasting each year is deals with really varied circumstances and talks and testimonies. And if ever the people are finally waking up to realize that somebody said to me just recently, I work with two different teams of exorcists for 30 years. Wow. And somebody said to me just recently, why the heck are all these, what's all you hear anymore? Oh, this priest is going to this place in Rome. They're becoming exorcists. Why all this? I said, because there's so much more evil in the world today than there was then. And this is, you know, regardless of your faith, whether you're, whatever your persuasion is, it's only a Catholic priest that can do an exorcism. And so everybody is aware of that, the power, the absolute power in the priesthood through, especially through exercising the gifts, all the gifts of the Spirit. And yes, you brought up a good point, and I don't think many people are aware of it. And I can assure everybody that what you're referring to is so true. And when somebody has an exorcist, people say all the time, oh, I just prayed an exorcism. I said, no, you can't. You probably prayed a deliverance. When it comes
right.
to... someone having an exorcism, you're right, there's forms have to be filled out, and the bishop,
that's right.
They do a psychological, is this emotional, is this mental, is this physical, or is this really demonic? And the good news for all of us is being a practicing Catholic, protected by the sacraments, in most mm-hmm. cases, and I really mean this, in absolutely most of the cases, possession's almost an impossibility with someone that is living out their faith daily. The sacraments
that's
are
a,
that
that's
powerful.
That's a really good point, because I think over the years, as I've learned about working with different priests too that are involved in this ministry, and how the portals, how do the evil spirits enter in, and one of the big ways is, and I know you know this, but just for the people out there, is when people get into mortal sin.
Exactly.
Like, a lot of times we don't hear about mortal sin anymore. You know,
That's
we hear
right.
about sin, but not mortal sin. And I remember being in, I had Catholic nuns growing up, and they talked about mortal sin, but you don't hear about
it
much
That's right.
anymore. But when it's mortal, you know, someone, let's say, decides to go out and do certain things that are against
church teaching. You know, they get into the occult or they start doing
Ouija
stuff
board.
With
yep.
Ouija boards or what, you know, I know some fallen away Catholics have gone into witchcraft.
Yep.
That's horrible. They open the door for the spirits, the evil spirits, to enter in. And then that's where they really need them.
Yeah.
You know, an exorcism, but not everybody that's having different issues need it. They have to discern it.
Yes. And there's
but
deliverance
I've learned the importance
ministry.
Of you, too. Yeah. Yes, deliverance.
Yeah.
I have a book right here that I've used for the past 5 years. It was given to our prayer group. And because we work on the week of prayer and fasting, I encourage everyone to get a copy of this. It's by Father Chad Ripperker called Deliverance Prayers for Use by the Laity.
Yep.
And he's got a really good beginning chapter that explains the difference between what we as lay people can do, and he explains the authority we have, like with our, within our families, with our spouses, with our children. And it's beautiful when you read this. I don't think a lot of people understand this.
So I encourage people to,
you know, when they're having issues in their families,
right.
I encourage them to start praying the rosary, start going back to confession on a regular basis. If they can, if they're having serious issues, you know, look at this book, start praying these prayers along with the rosary and Divine Mercy Chaplet. And for me, it was an eye-opener 5 years ago when I read a lot of this.
Yeah,
I had known about deliverance. I had witnessed people being freed from the devil's, you know, clutches.
Right.
But I didn't understand the authority that we have as Catholics.
Exactly.
And Christians. And so that book is great for anybody involved in any kind of ministry, and also who, you know, helps many others with a lot of emotional issues. It's a great book.
It is.
But the sacraments are huge.
Yeah.
And people think they can just not go to Mass one day, I'll be okay.
Yeah.
I always say, well, guess what? You'll have something walking behind you shortly.
Yeah. Father, almost before...
We have to have a sense of humor every once in a while to get the point across to people, but I tell them, stay close to the Lord, stay close with, you know, the sacraments, let Holy Mass be the center of your life.
Yeah.
A rosary a day keeps the demons away is one of the sayings we say around
I say
here.
That
means,
myself.
You know,
yeah.
The rosary is so important.
Yeah.
And confession's huge, very huge.
It's a great healing sacrament, not just, exactly.
And when I went to Medjugorje in 1987, I came back with the message, let Holy Mass be the center of your life. I went there with my mom. And that was the big thing I got when I came back.
Yeah, we are really...
That changed my life.
Yeah, we're really blessed in the Catholic Church. Our one holy Catholic and apostolic faith surrounds us with the power and the anointing of the sacraments. I just started to say Father Amroth from Rome, of course, he just passed away not too long ago, and he told me once when I was speaking in Rome, he said, you know, Kathleen, one Mass attended with all your intentions, as you should be centered on the Mass, is more powerful than if you had 100 exorcists in a room, because it's Jesus Christ himself there offering his body and his blood. And I never forgot that, and he was emphatic about it. So I want to, you know, I just want to praise and thank God for the wealth within our church, all the different ways that we've been blessed with a sacramental church and sacramental life. And we all need to be ready any moment, any time, any day. So we need to stay close to the sacramental life of the church that Jesus left for us. I want to thank God for you, for Ted, for your apostolate. And I pray that God would bless it abundantly and continue to give you many, many, many more years of bringing this beautiful ministry out to the public, so that others can be blessed and grow in the spirit as well. So
do we have time for one more short story? This is
I think we can get it in. Go ahead.
Okay, this is a quick one. Back in the mid-80s, we ran a crisis pregnancy center. This will be quick. And so we were learning all about the importance of the rosary and also fasting. So back in that day, I was a lot younger. I thought, oh, I'll do a 9-day fast, no big deal. Now it's a little different. It's, you know, it's a little bit harder, but back then we did a 9-day fast on bread and water. And so we had this crisis pregnancy center. Women came to get a pregnancy test, and then we would talk with them about their options for adoption, keeping the baby, of course. We'd always push for life, of course. And so we had a picture on our wall in the back room of a woman in our area at the time who was promoting abortion clinics, setting up contraception clinics back in the day. And we had her picture on the wall. We started praying for her. So we get a knock on the door at this crisis pregnancy center, and I ended up answering it. And I was extremely mellow because it was like the seventh or eighth day of the fast. And who's standing before me but this woman? And I, like, was shocked. She's right there. And she said, oh, is this, and she said the name of the pregnancy center. I said, yes. And she said, can I come in? I said, okay. I was super mellow. I probably would have not said that. I hadn't been fasting. So she came in, she sat down. Other people were in the back room, and I went back there quickly to say, please pray the rosary while I'm talking with her. So they did. And they had closed, the door was closed. So we ended up talking. And she said, well, are you all being deceptive here, what you do? And I said, how are we deceptive? I said, we are helping women who are pregnant, young women, to know what their beautiful options are of keeping the baby and or adoption. And then I looked at her and I said it very kindly and very gently but firmly. I think the people who are deceptive are people like yourself and your groups, because you look like you're advocating to help them, but you are promoting the killing of the innocent. Mm. And she looked at me. I thought her jaw just dropped. But I, you know, God gave me the grace to say it without anger, without, you know, I knew I had said it the right way because it was the Holy Spirit. But I could tell her she was shocked. And I said, well, we need to speak to these kids about chastity because many of them want to hear about it. And I told her stories how kids would come in from high school and talk with us and say, we want to hear about chastity. Tell my boyfriend about it. I said, these kids want to know the truth. And who's speaking to them about the truth today? So afterwards, she left. I went back in the room, and there was probably about, I don't know, 10 people back there. And I said, did you all pray the rosary? They said, oh, my gosh, yes. I said, well, they came right to the door, this person. I said, that shows you the power of prayer and fasting.
Amen. Well, when you're dealing with life issues of any sort, we can always rely on, the teaching magisterium of the church, standing lockstep also with the Word of God in the Scripture. So I just want to thank you for the work that you've done and continue to do. And one of these days we'll meet up face-to-face, up close and personal, as they say. And I just want to once again just share with the people here before I go off here. Sometimes I think we're not aware of all that God has in store for us and how all the different ways that He works. So once again, I just want to praise and thank God for Maureen and Ted. And I would ask you to give your website again before we go off the air. I only have a couple minutes, and I have to make an announcement.
No problem. Okay. For those who want to go and watch the day, November 15th, live, you can go to IWOPS.org. So that's the initials for International Week of Prayer Fasting.org. And it's free that day. It'll be live streamed. And then if you want to watch the virtual talks, and Kathleen leads it off on Monday, November 17th, I think it's at 11 o'clock, mm-hmm. You go to the website, and it runs all day, the talks. There's four people talking that day. And you can go online and find the flyer that has all the information on it, and there's the schedule for the day at the Basilica, and there's also the schedule for the virtual speakers. And if you cannot do that, you can call us at 888-478-PRAY, P-R-A-Y, if for some reason you forget the website, and we've got people here that will talk with you.
Awesome. Well, thank you again. I'm going to also announce, I'll have to make an announcement for my own conference coming up. It's a five-day conference that I hold each year at Malvern Retreat House. So
one of these days, Kathleen, I'm coming to that.
Okay.
I will need a retreat.
Okay.
God bless you.
Thank you.
For everything you do.
And give Ted
right.
my best, too. God bless
I
you.
I will. God bless. Bye-bye.
Well, my brothers and sisters, before we go off, I just wanted to give her full time. She got in a little late, and wanted to cover all the bases so that you could, you know, if you couldn't get to the conference, you could watch it, and if you can do both, that's better yet. But I just want to remind everybody, November 17th to the 21st is Ad Lumina Christi. And it's one of the most powerful, beautiful conferences. You've read all the remarks about it through the years on the chat when I do live. You can read them, and it's been an awesome blessing. It was sold out since August, but they called me and asked if they could open up the other buildings. I said yes. So they are still taking registrations for November 17th to the 21st. I will tell you, for those of you who have never experienced it, there's no rush in. It's not trying to get a bunch of information into everybody's mind in a weekend. You build on it. You have three powerful witnesses of how through... you know, the ministry through my own apostolate, the miracles that have happened in their life. And we have one on Wednesday, one on Thursday, and one on Friday about how God has worked miracles in their lives. And this has been going on for all these years now. So I want to encourage you, please call Malvern. You, as I said, they're filling up the next building, but you can still get in there, called Malvern Retreat House. So again, I just look forward to seeing you there November 17th through the 21st. And I also want to speak today to all those who have gone before us, all those who have... touched or impacted our lives in many ways, our loved ones, our family members, business associates, friends, neighbors, parishioners. And so I just want to close today with a prayer for all those holy souls in purgatory, for all those who have entered into the kingdom as well. And Father, I want to praise and thank you for all those who have touched our lives, moved in our hearts, taught us, loved us, and been great role models for us. And for all those, Lord, that have had great conversions at the end of their lives, we praise and thank you, Lord, that we know through your mercy endures forever, just an ocean of mercy, that... that your beautiful gift of mercy reads each heart alone, and you're outside of time and space, and everything's now for you. So even if someone maybe had taken their own life, and you always believe the teachings that you know, that soul was lost then, only God can, the church's teaching on that is, if you read it now, it's, you know, only God can read hearts, and only he knows what happens in that last instant of their lives. So I ask that we remember to pray for all the souls of the faithful departed. And I'm going to close with a little prayer that God will bless all those we lift now. Wrap them in your mind and your heart and lift them. And I also want to praise and thank you for the gift of my son, Brian McCarthy. It's his birthday today. And I praise and thank God for the gift of his life and my life and the life of all those that know him. But for all those in this month of November, We lift them to you now. Ehi ala la via andre sho ho ala la via. Ehi ala la via andre sho ho ala la via andre todo. Yandere via andre spiritu santo. Santa Maria sitri andre sola la via andre ehi allelu. Lord, bless all those who have gone before us. Hold them close to your sacred heart. And I praise and thank you for the gift of your love and mercy in our lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Don't go away. We've got a show coming up. Our next, Dr. Anton Raimondo, a beautiful program always, so stay tuned.